Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. Do you ever stop and consider what you're actually saying when you say that? Yeah, it's a song and it's a phrase that's used in jest, but do you really want to be something for consumption? My guess would be probably not. But are there ever times where you do wish that you were something else or someone else or at a different time? That maybe things were going differently in your life? The very notion never entered Adam and Eve's mind prior to the fall. They had it perfect. Why would they want anything other than to be a man and a woman that God had created them to be? But then the serpent, that old deceiver Satan, with his bag of tricks, lies, and deceptions. Did God actually say? And all of a sudden, they were desiring something different. He opened the door to desiring those new things. He opened their minds to coveting that which was not theirs, being God. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Since that time, many of us, from time to time, and perhaps even you today, have desired to be something or someone else, or at a different time, that things would go differently than they were. If only this were to happen, or that were to happen, then everything would be going well. That's what we think. That's what we would like to hope. But what does God think about such thoughts? Did Jesus ever have such desires? You can expect that Satan was more than willing to tempt Jesus with the idea. And that is the basis of our gospel text for this morning. Jesus has given three if-then temptations. And after a period of fasting, no less. As we begin our Lenten season, you can also expect that Satan will come and tempt you as well. He will tempt you and try to distract you from looking to the cross. The devil said to Jesus, "If you were the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And from that verse alone, you might be thinking, well, that's not an if-then statement. He says, "If you were the Son of God," but he never says, "then." Well, that is true. But what is the intention behind the statement, behind the command? Was it to get Jesus to doubt or to distract him or to make him obey Satan? Any of these three might be the correct answer. If Jesus were to doubt he was the Son of God, then he may not go through with the crucifixion. If Jesus were to be distracted from his goal of the cross, Satan would have still won. And if Jesus turned the stone to bread, who would he be obeying? His heavenly Father God or Satan? Does Satan ever try to tempt you in the same ways? Does he ever try to make you doubt your salvation or that through Jesus' work you are indeed a child of God? Satan likes to do this in a myriad of ways. And a whole lot of them. He will even go so far as to live up to his name, the accuser, and point out some sin or sins that you have done, even perhaps ones that you have done recently. He will point his finger and say, "You see, God couldn't possibly love you after you did that. You're supposed to be a child of God. Jesus died for your sins, and you did that? Oh, sure, God paid the price for everyone else's sins, but that sin is so bad he couldn't possibly have paid the price for that one. You're just too bad to be on God's good list. You need to make sure that you don't fall from grace and you just failed." Oh, Satan, the accuser, how he likes to point that finger and really grind it in there. When Satan points out your sins to you, what is he doing if not distracting you from the cross? If you focus on your sin and sinfulness, you lose sight of what God has done for you. once your focus is on your sin, or anywhere else for that matter? Who are you disobeying? Who are you obeying? Does not God want you to focus on your salvation? Doesn't He want you to know that you are His child and that you were loved? But Satan, the world, and your own flesh would rather have you focus on wishing that you were someone else, or someplace else, or something else, or at a different time, or anywhere, or anyhow, but here and now. They'd rather have you think that you sin and that you don't deserve God's love. They'd have you look at anything but the cross. Thank God Jesus didn't lose sight of the cross through that first temptation. But now we'll look at the second. The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Aha! There's an if-then statement. Jesus wasn't being distracted from his purpose, so Satan tried a different tactic, giving it a different way of going about it, a different means. What if Satan just gave him the world and all of its kingdoms, and he didn't have to die on the cross? Wouldn't that be better? Satan says it will be all yours. But how would Jesus get it? What did he have to do? He had to worship Satan. Now stop and consider that idea for a moment. If Jesus worshiped Satan, then how would Jesus have the authority? More than that, how could Satan even offer that? When did he ever get the authority of the kingdoms to begin with? To be able to say, "I will give it to whom I will." Well, the answer to that is actually kind of twofold. One answer is that we did, and another answer is that no one did. You see, humanity gave Satan dominion when we decided to follow after his word rather than God's word concerning eating from that particular tree. We gave it up to him. We decided to follow what he was saying instead of what God was saying. But where did Satan go wrong to begin with? How did Satan get us to give him that authority? By planting seeds of doubt in our mind. He planted in a field that did not belong to him. And now the weeds of sin are so intertwined with us that we can't be freed from it of our own work. But no matter how he took the authority of the kingdoms, what is Satan doing here? He is once again tempting Jesus to look somewhere other than the cross. "Don't go to the cross. I'll give it all to you. All you have to do is worship me. I'll give it all to you and you won't have to die. Just worship me." What a tricky one Satan is. Distraction from the cross. Doubt that it was the only way. And disobedience toward his Father. The same sins, just in the newest ways. Have you seen Satan at work in your life with these same sins, these same temptations? Does he make you doubt? Does he distract you from the cross of Calvary? Or does he make you disobedient? He does it to me all the time. Chief of sinners, though Paul and I be. But why does he do this? To distract us from where God is at work, the cross. The very cross to which Jesus was headed. The very cross to where our sins were paid for. Satan would have us look anywhere but that. Look at your sin. Look at what you did. Look at that person. They've got it better than you. Look over there. Look over here. Look anywhere but the cross. I don't want you to see the cross. I don't want you to see what happened there. What Jesus accomplished for you there. He doesn't want you to remember the cross or your baptism. Any of those times where God has said, "You are my child," by the merits of Jesus on the cross. The same cross to which Jesus will try to deter Jesus one more time. Satan took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." One of the worst things that Satan can do, if not the worst, is using God's word in his deception. He uses it improperly, but it takes reading and knowing and hearing God's word, perhaps on a Sunday morning, perhaps on a Wednesday night, perhaps on a Saturday night, to know the word of God, to know it well enough to refute Satan's temptations. Here we have an if-then from Satan's knowledge of Scripture. If Jesus would throw himself off the temple, then God would certainly save him, as it says in that psalm. Here again, we question why Satan would go so far as to even use God's word in his distractions from Jesus from the cross. It's because he hates whatever God is doing. I don't think that Satan knew what Jesus was going to do on the cross at this time. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. But nowhere in Scripture does it say that Satan is. But just because God wanted him to do it, Satan didn't want him to do it. Satan hates anything that God is doing. And so he tries one more time to get Jesus to stop. He just tries to distract him, tries to make him doubt, even tries to get him to kill himself rather than go to the cross. He wants Jesus to do his will, not God's will, even if it means using some of God's word to get him to do it. Does Satan or the world or your own sinful flesh ever try to trick you with God's word into doing what they want rather than what God wants? I don't even have to point to an example. You probably already know that in some way, somehow, somewhere, yes, that's already happened. And it will continue to happen so long as we are in temptation. So long as we are in this side of heaven, we will continue to have temptation. Maybe not right now, but it is coming. And perhaps not with Scripture, but perhaps with Scripture. Sometimes we might be able to use Scripture to refute it, as Jesus did. It is said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." But too often we fail. We fall into that temptation. And then Satan is right there to accuse us, to point and say, "Aha, you did a sin. God can't possibly love you for that." Anything to point you anywhere else but the cross. The cross where Jesus did pay for your sins. Satan and his demons know about God. They know the Scriptures enough to misuse them, but they don't trust God's Son. Through God's Spirit, you do. You know why Jesus was going to the cross. You know what he was going to do on the cross, and you know that he did do it on the cross. You do believe that you are God's own child by Jesus' merits. By his death on the cross of Calvary, you were God's child, no matter what Satan wants to say. And you do believe that it doesn't depend on you to get to heaven. Even now, it's not up to you whether or not you fall from grace. It's up to you to believe. It's up to you to hear God's word and to believe it. And even that God does for you through his Spirit. It all rests on Jesus, who said, "It is finished." In Jesus' name, amen.